Victoria. Like Pastor Robert said, I've been there for almost 10 years now, and I love my church. I love pastoring. I don't know if I prefer the evangelist ministry anymore. I travel a lot, but I actually slowed it down a bit because I really love pastoring. I love my church, and we are experiencing, you can say, revival. Not just numerically, although there is growth numerically, but also when it comes to the leadership growing. We have all South African leadership. I'm the only American in my church. So we built from the ground up, from nothing, and been able to see God raise up the leadership right there from the country and from the city. And man, I'm just in a good place. There's so many couples. There's so many. There's a lot of people in my church. It's becoming a little bit too big for even me as one pastor. So I have to raise up some pastors soon. Also have to raise up some more missionaries have to come. I'm not sure, but we're gonna see how God's gonna do it. But we gotta grow it, amen. Because we're at that place. And in fact, I think last time I was here, I did a training. And I talked about we do Super Sundays, which is we come together. We have double service on Sunday. We have fit about 300 in our sanctuary, but we do double service. But every 2 months, we come together for one big service. And in those big services, God is my witness, we average about 500 to 600 people on a Sunday morning, just with the people from South Africa. No, just them growing. Some of them come from the home. Some of them graduates of the home, half of them. And then the other half, they're transferred from other churches that fell in love with the vision of the ministry. And just the other day, a few months ago, not too long ago, we purchased our first property as a church. And we bought 7-acre property for our men's and our women's home. And We have 3 houses on that property. We built 2 of them from the ground up, and now they're full on houses. But there's 3 houses there. We're believing for a 4th one this year. We're also believing for a few other items. I want our home to look like a resort. That's my goal, a rehab resort. But it's not going to be a resort though. It's going to be tough. It's going to look like a resort. It's not going to be a resort, but we want it to look beautiful. And what it does is, long story short, I don't want to talk about this too much, but, you know, last year at Mighty Men of Valor, they challenged us to give to Germany. And we as an international church, we also pledged, and we gave 10,000 Rand to Germany, to another country. Hello. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I was kind of struggling with it. I was like, hey, Lord, we need this. And I was also getting married, so I needed money. How many know you need money for a wedding, right? And I married a South African. That's how much I love South Africa. So, amen, you can't love it any more than that, right? So that's like top-level love. And so I was saving for a wedding. I was also, you know, wanting to buy this property. I didn't have the money for it. And I sowed 10,000 Rand into another country that's far from me, and I just sowed. And never think your sowing is just going in the air, so to speak. It's going to come back to you. Never, you can't outgive God. I said, you can't outgive God. Hello. You know, our church has been self-supportive for about 6 years. We don't have no outside income, no United We Can. Nothing. We are a church now that's actually helping some of the other churches at times. And God has given us that ability. All glory to God. But what I'm saying is we sowed 10,000 into Germany. I got back, and about 2 months later, long story short, because I don't want to preach about it tonight. It's another different message. But, I got a phone call from a bank that wanted to partner with us. A bank. I didn't even call them. They called us. And they ended up blessing us in investment. We don't have it. But they invested 4 million Rand into our church. That was wow. That was unison. Wow. 4 million Rand, which is equivalent to maybe $1 million. They gave to us, and we bought the properties. We also invested in renovating the properties and doing all the things God is doing. And what it does is sets us up in a few years to be able to buy a church property. So, and I believe in about 5 years, we're going to be homeowners of our home, and we're also going to build the church from the ground up. I'm believing for a 2,000-seater. I'm believing for something big. Because you know what, I'm not exaggerating one bit. We really could sense in Pretoria that there's a Pastor Sonny keeps talking about 5 years. He wants to see mega churches, and by the grace of God, I really believe that we're going to be one of those churches that God's going to raise up. So keep us in prayer, because again, we're part of your region. I'm part of your region. I know Pastor Robert's a regional now, and I'm so happy and proud of him and his also his ministry. But amen, then I'm part of your region. Praise the Lord. You don't have to send me money. It's okay. You don't have to send me any money. Just pray for me. That's all. Just keep me in prayer. Amen. Amen. Can you take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And for the last couple of weeks in my church before I came here, I was preaching on a topic. And as you can sense, our churches in Victory Outreach are in a certain spirit. And honest with you, it started with me about 6 months ago. This is not a new thing for me, but this is something that I believe that you can sense in Victory Outreach International. And what I want to talk about tonight, and then we're going to pray. We're going to believe God for miracles tonight, healings tonight. We're going to believe God for some genuine healings, not just healings when it comes to your body, although that could happen, but emotional healings. Maybe some healings that are in your brain. Come on, our brain needs healing. So tonight I want to talk about spiritual warfare. We're going into prayer, right? We're going into the prayer summit. We're in fasting. We need to understand we're in a battle. Well, what's the battle? Well, it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes or the strategies of the devil." In other words, the enemy has a thought when it comes to attacking us. It's not just something that he wakes up, so to speak, and he just, you know, says, you know what, I'm going to try this or try that. He literally has a strategy for your personal life and even for your church. He has a strategy against your marriage. He has a strategy against your ministry. He has a strategy against your profession. Whatever it is that you're trying to do for God, the Bible says that he has a strategy. Because our battle, or we wrestle not against flesh and blood. How many know your neighbor is not your enemy? I know it's hard to believe that sometimes. How many know that your boss isn't your enemy? How many know that your wife isn't your enemy? Your husband isn't your enemy. Hello. Your pastor is not your enemy. It's not a battle of flesh and blood. But we, how many know it's hard for us to see that, because sometimes it is so natural that we think it is. But our battle, the Bible says, is against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Let's pray. Father, one more time I ask that you would be with me as I minister this word. You know that this is a very important word that you've given me, God, for the body of Christ, not just for South Africa, Pretoria, but I really believe this is something that the enemy's trying all over Victory Outreach and even Christianity in the kingdom. So God, I pray that you'd expose the enemy tonight, my God, and give us victory over these areas in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to the book of Job, chapter 41. We're going to look at a few more verses before I really get into it here today. Job chapter 41. I'm 42, sorry. Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42 says this in verses 1. I'm just going to read it for the sake of time. It says, "Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that nothing can be withheld from you. Who is it that hides your counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered things I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Now, if you know anything about Job, we all know he went through a lot of trials, right? Most of us know that about Job. He went through trials that none of us ever went through, will ever go through, most likely in our lives. He was like the highest bar of trials you can go through, Job went through. But it gives you an understanding that even Job, if you look at chapter 1 of the book of Job, you find that it's like a resume of all resume of somebody that is spiritual. I mean, you would think this guy had it all together. And here he is saying that I knew things I thought I knew, and I'm saying things I thought I was saying. And the Bible says, he says, and here I say, I will speak and demand thee and declare unto me that I have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. He says, therefore I repent in dust and ashes. Now, again, Job was a man of God. Job wasn't some guy that was, you know, playing around. He was a spiritual man. He was a great leader. He was somebody that people looked up to. In fact, the Bible says he was the greatest of all the East. In other words, he was somebody that people would look to when it came to how to serve God. He was somebody that had a lot of possessions. He was somebody that was successful. But at the same time, the Bible says that Job repented. Now, what did he repent of? Because some people will say, Job didn't do anything wrong. Well, then why did he repent? Why did he repent from whatever he did wrong? See, I believe this. The other day, in fact, a month ago, I was praying and I was fasting, even for my own self and for the church. We also got out of a fast, and I actually have told my church that we're going to fast throughout the whole year this year. For the first three days of every month, we're going to be doing a liquid fast. So every month this whole year, we're going to be fasting and praying, because I know that it's always spiritual first. And the enemy wants to make it A, B, or C, but in reality, it's always a spiritual battle, especially for us as Christians. But the enemy wants to make it a natural battle, wants to make it something that we can see. But sometimes we have to understand that it's not going to happen the way we think it's going to happen. We have to go on our knees and ask God and find out what is he trying to do, because when we find out what he's trying to do, possibly he'll change the trials into blessings. See, I was praying, and the Lord gave me a word. He gave me one word, and I never really heard this word. I've heard it, but I've never researched it too much, or I never actually even understood it too much, because I thought it was one thing, but actually it's not, when I started to study it. And I was praying, and I was meditating, and the word came to me, Leviathan. How many ever heard of the Leviathan before? Now, the Leviathan was an actual creature in the Bible. And it's something that is prehistoric. It's something that was an actual creature in the Old Testament or in the old times that literally was alive. It wasn't a symbolic thing. And when I started to read the Leviathan, I started to realize that actually Leviathan, because that word came to me and I started studying it, I started looking for it. And guess where the Leviathan is? In the book of Job. In chapter 41. Before 42, look at it. 42 talks about the blessing, right? 42 talks about he repented, and then all of a sudden, what? He got double for his trouble? How many would like that? Amen. How many would like double their pay? Amen. How many would like double their blessings? But at the same time, the Bible says before that happened, the God reveals the attack upon Job's life. And he talks about the Leviathan or the Leviathan. Now, the Leviathan was a certain attack. How many have heard in Peter where the Bible says that the enemy's like a lion, right? Doesn't mean the enemy's a lion or a spirit of a lion. No, he's like a lion. So it gives you characteristics so you know how the enemy may attack you. Because a lion is patient, right? A lion will wait till you're weak. A lion will wait until, you know, you're isolated. So we get certain characteristics that how the enemy will attack you like a lion. Well, it's the same thing when it talks about the Leviathan. There's certain characteristics that the Leviathan will have in order to attack you. Now, a Leviathan, the way it attacks you, if you read it chapter 41 and you study what a Leviathan was, even historically, it was actually a prehistoric crocodile. It was a big, big crocodile reptile that would attack this way. The way he would attack is just like a crocodile would be right there under the water, and all of a sudden quickly grab you, bring you under the water, and then twist you. And twist things. And twist certain relationships, or twist certain type of mindsets, or begin to twist things. In other words, I believe what the Lord was showing me, and I believe this is something that's not just happening in my church or happening in soul churches, but I believe this is the end time attack upon the body of Christ, is to divide us. Because when you get twisted, the whole point of twisting you is to break you, is to divide you so that it can eat you. It divides you, and it divides relationships, and divides certain type of people. In other words, this is a strategy, I believe, why sometimes we have divorces, why we have sometimes confusion, why we have sometimes people against each other for no reason. Come on. Why we even have grudges and even hate, even murder, miscommunication. Come on, somebody. How many know the enemy is good at miscommunicating things between each other? Isn't that what he did when he was even in heaven? I mean, when he was sitting there in heaven, and the Bible says he wanted to be like God, the Bible says that he was able to deceive 1/3 of the angels to follow him. Now, if he could deceive angels to literally leave heaven to follow him onto earth, then who are we to think that the enemy can't deceive us and also turn us against God, or even turn us against things that are godly? We have to be aware that there is an attack at times upon our communication. Why? Because the enemy came down from heaven, right? And he got cast down. What is the first thing he did? He got it with Adam and Eve, and he started to twist everything God was saying to them. And because of that twisting, the Bible says that all of a sudden they were sinning. Come on, somebody. And then all of a sudden now they had to be forgiven of this sin. But it started with somebody, the enemy himself, twisting the relationship between that person and God, or that person and each other. And how many know that if the enemy could divide us, if the enemy could make us against each other, come on, the enemy could make us competitive against each other, the enemy could make us wanting to outdo each other sometimes, then the enemy got us, because united, there's an anointing that comes over our lives, there's an anointing that comes over our families, there's an anointing that comes over our marriages, there's an anointing that comes over the church when everybody's working together. How many know, if we work together, Victory is Pomona, amen, this city wouldn't be able to know how to handle a church that is anointed and unified to be able to do great works. How many know, look at your neighbor and say, you're not my enemy. We have an enemy. And this attack comes to confuse, comes to divide. Think about this for a second. You ever text somebody, and it's like a good text, but then they take it wrong? Hello. You're like, bro, I love you. You know, and they just send something back. How dare you say that? You know, you're like, what? What do you mean you love me, right? Because it's a dividing spirit. It's a spirit. It doesn't possess you, because you're a Christian, right? But it oppresses you. It stays over you. It tells things in the ear. This is why sometimes even marriages have constant problems, because there's a little devil right there telling your wife and your husband this, and even the kids and different things. But we have to be aware of it, because when we're aware of it, the enemy will stop using that attack upon our lives. Even in church, come on, I told my church the other day, I'm just speaking for myself, amen. I told my church the other day, I says, I've been here almost 10 years, and guess what? I'm sure you've been mad at me once or twice. How many have been mad at me, and they raised their hands? Well, I said, guess what? I've been mad at you too. We've been mad at each other. Because the enemy tried to divide us. Because he knows if we're united, man, He knows if we're working together. He knows if there's no offense or there's no division or there's no grudges or there's no bitterness or there's no anger towards one another, then there's nothing we can't do. That's what happened. The enemy came and he began to attack Job. But how does it come? The Bible says that Job repented. What did he repent of? If you read chapter 41, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to do that. But chapter 41 gives you whole characteristics of the Leviathan and what it does and how it acts. Study it on your own time when you get a chance. But the last verse in chapter 41 says this. He says this, the Leviathan is the king of all that are proud. He's the king of all the children that are proud. And then right in chapter 42, Job repents. Why did Job repent? Because he was prideful. Ooh, come on. How many know we all be prideful sometimes? Oh, don't look at me funny. Amen. We all be prideful sometimes. All of us. Amen. And if we're not careful, how this twisty spirit comes in, how this dividing spirit comes in, it comes in through a character flaw that we all have. And how many have a character flaw? How many got two? How many got five? How many got 10, 20, 30? Amen. All of us, including myself, we have character flaws. And if we don't get victory over character flaws or over thorns in our lives, then the enemy comes in that way. And then he came in, and all of a sudden he came in, right? And then how did he come in? Came in through pride. I believe that Job got a little self-righteous. He began to think, I'm doing all these great things, and I'm part of this, and I'm doing that, and I'm over here, and I have all these great attributes and accolades, and he got a little prideful. Not like prideful like he thought he was the best, but prideful in the sense that he began to think that everything he had was because of how good he was. And that pride broke him down because the enemy came in, and all of a sudden all of his friends that were around him started to twist what God was telling him and how God wanted, and even his own wife. Come on, somebody. But how did that come in? It came in through a characteristic flaw. For some of us, it's not pride, but some of us, it's anger. Come on. Some of us, it's possibly, you know, we have insecurities. We have complexes. We have areas in our life we haven't got victory over. Maybe we have some type of bitterness or unforgiveness in our hearts towards something or somebody. And if you don't allow God to really heal you, come on, during this fast. And how many know 2020, we don't want to bring these things into our lives. We don't want to take them into our families. I know it's not easy sometimes to face those things, but by the power of Jesus Christ, we're able to overcome these areas, these weaknesses, these complexes. See, my mom was a drug addict. My dad passed away when I was a kid, and I didn't have family, so I developed also an independent spirit. I developed a rebellious spirit, not because, you know, I just thought, you know, nobody was there for me, so I don't need nobody. And I started to develop these thorns, and I started to develop these insecurities and these complexes and even rejection issues, because I thought, well, everybody left me, and nobody was there for me growing up. And if you're not careful, you bring that into your family. You bring that into your ministry, even if you're a leader. Come on, leaders, we have to be careful that we don't allow those insecurities to get the best of us, because that's what brings in that spirit of division into a ministry, into a life. That it becomes strong. And the reality is, this is what happens. What happened to Job is that not only was this spirit trying to come to twist things, but it literally started to affect natural things that he had in his life, like his wealth, like his family, like his position. Come on, he's lost his position, and he even got sick. How many know we got to be careful? Because the enemy comes to kill us, destroy us, to break everything around us. I remember that last year sometime, it was at, again, Mighty Men of Valor. I came from Mighty Men, and you know, in fact, Pastor Robert knows about this because I even asked for some help. I says, man, I need to go to the emergency room. I was so sick. I was so sick. I didn't know what was wrong with me during Mighty Men of Valor last year, and I had to be rushed to the emergency room. In fact, Ralph, he took me to the emergency room because I didn't know what was going on with me. I thought I was having a heart attack. And I went to the emergency. They said, I'm fine. Everything's fine.
and you know, maybe you need, you're stressed or something like that. Hello. Anxiety. Oh, keep it real. Come on. That's what happened. That's why the trials came, because Job wasn't keeping it real. You got to keep it real. And all of a sudden, I believe, man, I was so overwhelmed with whatever that I ended up in the emergency room. And I still had to preach. I went to New York and preached. I was over here preaching. Oh, the church is growing. All these great things are happening in my life. I'm about to get married. Come on, those of you that I know, I've been waiting a long time. I says, my God, what am I stressed about? How can I be stressed? The best year of my life. How can I be stressed? Church is growing, getting married. All these great things are happening. I mean, I'm getting blessed with money, all this stuff. God just blessing me, man. But I'm sitting in that room. I ended up going back to New York. Long story short, I had to fly to London. And then from London, I went back to South Africa. But in London, I had a layover and I had a delay. Now, one of the worst things you can get when you're traveling is a delay. Oh my gosh, I'd rather have anything else than a delay. It's horrible, man. You're already tired. Everything's falling apart. And they just say, you know what? You got to stay the night. You gave me a hotel. And I'm my body's falling apart. I didn't know what was wrong with me yet. And I begin to pray, because I know how to do that. I says, Lord, I don't know what's going on. And I started praying, and I ended up going to the hotel room I was in. I started praying. I started breaking. And I says, Lord, I just want to sleep. I haven't slept for like weeks because the pain that was going on in my body, I didn't know what was going on. I'd never been sick before in my life. Never been sick before. Hello. And I begin to pray, and then the Lord rebuked me. The Holy Spirit rebuked me. And he says, Louis, you're taking on too much. I didn't ask you to take on all that you're taking on right now. You're taking on too much. You're doing too much. And he says, in fact, you're doing ministry in the flesh. I thought, wow. I started thinking, man, am I that bad? And the Lord says, listen, you're doing ministry in the flesh. And he says, I didn't call you to carry all that. All I asked you to do is carry what I've asked you to carry. Carry the burden that I've asked you to carry, but I fight the battles. And I started weeping and crying unto God right there. And I repented that night. And I told the Lord, I says, Lord, I'm going to make some changes in my life. I'm going to make some adjustments in my life. I'm going to start looking at the way I do things, the way I act, the way I hold things in my heart. Because if you're not careful, listen, if you're not careful, I believe what happens is we become supermen. Come on, mama. Carrying your family, carrying your kids. And don't get me wrong, you got a responsibility, of course, but don't forget that it's God that's going to have to fight the battles. You're going to only go so far. You're limited. You can only do so much. You can only carry so much. You can only do so much. We're limited. We're frail. We only have a little bit of power. But when we let God take control, when we let the Holy Spirit take control, He begins to fight those battles. I went back home, make a lot of adjustments. I went to the doctors again, and they said, you know, just I have inflammation in my chest, and I have to be careful. Nothing serious, but they told me it's because of stress. We have to be careful. I believe that's what happened to Job. See, this is why, again, the enemy comes and divides us so that we can get to a place where we feel like we're nothing, and we can't get it. This is why we have to be careful that we don't allow this division to come into our lives. Again, this is what breaks up relationships, bonds, friendships. This is what breaks up loving one another and not being able to be with one another anymore. This is what even hurts us at times when we have ungodly ambition or competition. Come on, somebody. Or we start, some of us say, man, we like to fight on social media. That's an issue in the church. Posting, come on, bleeding on Facebook. If you're going to bleed, bleed to God. Don't bleed on Facebook or Instagram or any other place. Amen. But learn how to bleed to God. Because this is what the enemy comes to divide us. One little comment or one little text or one little thing, one little post that comes out there, and all of a sudden that becomes a twisty spirit, it becomes a dividing spirit, and all of a sudden the devil gets glory out of it because now we're fighting each other. We got to stop fighting each other. And we got to start fighting the devil. We got to know there's only one enemy. I promise you, I know it's hard because we're used to seeing the person and we think it's them. I had to forgive a lot of people after I got this revelation a few months ago. I had to forgive people in my church. I had to forgive people in my family. I had to let the Holy Spirit really do work in my life because, listen, I'm not going to let the devil win. I don't know about you, but I don't like to let in the devil win. I can let anybody, I don't like losing. If you know me a little bit, I don't like losing. I'm a competitive person, amen. But when it comes to the things of God, I got to understand something, that my fight is against the devil. How are you going to win this battle? Well, turn your Bibles to Isaiah 27. I'm almost done. Isaiah chapter 27. The Bible gives you the answer. In Isaiah chapter 27 and 28, it is also a depiction or a symbol of the end times. See, I really believe that we're in the end times. I've been saved 23 years now this year, 23 years, and I've been hearing about the end times since I got saved. But that doesn't make me think it's not going to come. We're in the end times. I believe that it could come any moment. And the enemy is going to try his best to divide the church. See, this word is, I don't believe it just for my church. I believe it's something that the enemy is going to try to use against the church, the kingdom of God, Victory Outreach Family International. The enemy is going to try to divide us. I can't tell you how much I'm blessed and I'm proud and I'm happy for Pastor Robert and Sister Veronica and what God is doing here in Pomona. How many know that God wants to do great things here in Pomona? I get excited when I see posts or I see certain things about the goodness and what God is doing. Because how many know together, all of us together, we could really do something great for God. But if we're in competition, or if we're trying to, you know, even within the church or within departments, come on now, if we're not really backing each other up when we need to, when the pastor says, hey, let's go over here, hey, let's go over here, hey, we should all be ready to go over there. Why? Because there's power in unity. We're going to be able to do whatever we can do when we work in unity. What happens? Isaiah 27, I love this. It's going to help you out tonight. He says, in that day the Lord shall bring his great sword, great and strong sword, and shall punish Leviathan. That's not a symbolic. You think the enemy's going to come and fight a big crocodile? No, it's a symbolic spiritual attack of how the enemy is going to come. In fact, if you even I was studying it more, and even Pastor Sonny Jr. talked about this at Mighty Men of Valor a little bit. If you go back, you can hear his message about how the enemy is going to come and try to divide us, try to divide the church. And the key is this: he will punish Leviathan, the piercing spirit, even Leviathan, the crooked spirit, and he shall slay the dragon that's in the sea. Hello. How many know God's going to fight the battle? I say it again. How many know God is going to fight the battle? I'll say it again. How many know God is going to fight the battle for us? See, sometimes we want to fight the battle, and we make things worse, and we cut a lot of people. Come on. We make people bleed when they're not supposed to. But when we let God fight the battle, he's really going to fight the real enemy that we're trying to defeat, and he's not going to win. Let God fight the battle. He says, in that day, sing unto her, O vineyard of red wine. In other words, that is the same depiction of John chapter 15, how we are the vine, the branches, and how the Bible says that he wants us to bear fruit. How many want to bear fruit? How many want to bear fruit in 2020? How many want to bear fruit in their family this year? It's not going to happen by just wishing it to happen, but it's going to happen by letting God fight the battle. What does that talk about? Humility. Ooh, humble myself. Humility. Humility is going to defeat this devil. See, the Bible says in 41 again of Job, that if you try to fight this type of spirit, you're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. If you try to fight it, you're going to regret it. But the Bible says if you let God fight the battle, then he says that he's going to slay it for you. How do you let God fight the battle? Through humility. Through humility. Through prayer. Through fasting. Through spiritual disciplines. Through coming to church, come on Wednesday night, on Sunday morning, on whatever prayer seminar, whatever you got going on in the church. If you really want to fight this battle, then humility is going to make sure that you get through it. This is why it's important to understand that. He says also, and I'm done, actually, the team could come on up. He says, listen, this is how you fight the battle. It says, if you let me fight the battle, verse 3, it says, and I, the Lord, will keep it. And I will water it every moment, lest anyone should hurt it. I will keep it night and day. In other words, God says, I will protect you when you're humble. I will protect everything that the enemy's trying to take away from you. I'm gonna close in a second. I have another scripture. But I want you to understand something, that the enemy is trying his best to make us fight each other. Listen, marriage, listen, husband, wife. The enemy's trying his best to make us fight each other. Leader, potential leader. Come on. Why? Verse 4, fury is not in me. See, fury is not in me. Who would set the thorns against me in battle? I will go through them and I will burn them together. What is it talking about there? See, when you're trying to grow like a vine, the Bible talks about, right, in John 15, that you're the vine, he's the branches, and you will bear fruit when you allow him to prune you, right? You know the scripture, right? But it's hard to grow things when you have thorns. See, what the thorns are those insecurities, those complexes, those deep issues that you have in your heart that only God knows, that come out when somebody tries to help you. How many know when you try to grab something that got a thorn, you get, it hurts. You hurt people because of that thorn in your soul. But the Bible says if you humble yourself and you let God fight your battles, he says, I'll protect you. And not only will I protect you, but I'll burn up every thorn that you have in your soul. How many want to get healed of some things this year? How many honestly want to get healed of some emotional pains, some hurts, some deep issues that you have in your heart that only God knows about? Maybe your wife or your husband knows about. Maybe nobody knows about. But you know you have these areas in your life, and you're trying to serve God, and you're trying to do the right thing, and you're trying to raise your family godly. But for whatever reason, these areas in your life always try to poke you, try to bleed you, try to scar you. He says, if you let the Holy Spirit, he'll burn it up for you. He won't burn up the vine. He'll burn up the thorns only in your life. It says also that you could either have the root of Jacob. You can read it. Or you can have the root of Israel. What is Jacob? Again, he's a twister. Manipulator. Somebody that is always trying to get out of it. Come on now. But Israel, the Bible says, is a godly person. In other words, a person of God. You see, in other words, if you allow God to fight these battles, and you allow God to not let this enemy come in and try to divide you, then the Bible says you will bear fruit in your life. Fruit will come. See, because, again, read it on your own time, Isaiah 27 and 28. This is an end time attack upon the church. But there's also going to be something else in the end times. The Bible talks about in Joel. Talks about that there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit also in the end times. So the enemy is going to come, but God's power is going to come even stronger. I said the enemy is going to try to divide, but God's anointing and God's power is going to come even stronger. And I love that scripture in Joel, where it says, the locusts have tried to come and steal your harvest. They've come and tried to steal your dreams. The locusts have come and tried to steal your vision. The locusts have tried to come and steal all that God has promised you. And he says, listen, all that the locust has tried to stop and tried to kill, I'm going to repay back to you all the years of the locust that he's tried to steal your harvest. And then he says, after that, he says,
says your young man, will see visions and your old man will see dreams. Why? Because there's going to be a power that's going to come over your life so that you can be able to overcome. You can be able to see again your dreams, see again your visions, see again your purpose. The enemy's trying to steal your life long enough. Come on, stand to your feet. He's trying to steal, he's trying to kill. But we can't fight this naturally, my friend. We can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. You got to humble yourself tonight. You got to ask God if you got to repent of something. You got to repent. Go ahead. Don't take this as another preaching and just go home. I really believe that there's something that God wants to do in our church in Victory Outreach International. I really believe you can feel it. I've never seen so many churches fasting in Victory Outreach. Usually a few of them would fast, but it seems like everybody's fasting in Victory Outreach. It seems like everybody's talking about outpouring. Our yearly theme is a year of outpouring for Victory Outreach Pretoria. Yours is a year of now. Why? Because God wants to outpour. God wants to use you now. But God has some power. If you want to go into 2020 and really have the best year of your life, you need power. You need the Holy Spirit tonight. But how do you do that? Humble yourself. Say, God, I don't know what to do. I just need you to take control. I need you to fight my battles in my life. I need you to fight my battles in my family. I need you to fight my battles in my ministry. I need you to fight my battles. I don't know what to do, God. It's okay. Listen, you know what? It's okay to not know what to do. It's okay to not know what to say. All you have to do is ask God. Say, God, you fight the battles. You help me in my situation. I don't want to be the same way anymore. I need your power. As they sing this song, if God has spoken to you, I want to pray for you. I'm going to lay hands on somebody tonight. Come on, step out.